Crazy stuff going on in the news right now. I see that Trump is allegedly unable to pay this $500 million. I don't even know what you call it, this situation going on in New York. You know, you watch the whole thing in a little bit of disbelief. How does this happen exactly? And what they've done to this guy under political motivations. And, you know, it happens all the time. It doesn't usually happen to people like him, at least not on this scale. But it does happen. I've seen it happen. Seen it happen firsthand, and it's pretty nasty, really, this politicalization of our justice system. And it's really concerning, really. If there's no other threat to our way of life right now. And I ask you, when the government is engaging in these types of things that violate due process, and you say, what do you mean violate due process? He had a hearing and trial, and the judge awarded, and I don't think there was no jury, right? It wasn't a jury trial. It was a judge's verdict, a kooky judge up in New York that they get to do this thing. And they're going to put this incredible financial hardship on Trump for political reasons. You can debate that all you want. I would just say to you, name for me some other similar case in New York or anywhere else for that matter. And you're just not going to find any. This is uncharted territory in some ways, not completely. The scale of it, I think, is uncharted territory. These kinds of shenanigans go on. I think that ultimately he'll prevail, but it sure seems to be creating a bit of a road bump for him. And that could be wrong, because I said this the other day, you know, as much as you want to think, oh, poor Trump, I think, well, all of a sudden they're fundraising off of it, asking for $5 and $10. Oh, we got to pick up the tab for this. Is the money going to come back after this whole thing is settled? I'm like, I don't know about that, man. I'm like, I kind of need those $5 and $10 right now. But here's the bigger point, what I want to talk about today. This topic of civil war has made its way again, and I don't think it's going away. I hear so many people talking about civil war. And before I even get into this, I'm going to just share with you my personal thoughts on this. And we don't want this to happen. Trust me. My personal feeling is that by and large, that we as people in this country get along pretty well, despite differences in ethnicity and religion. You know, we tend to be pretty respectful of different cultures for the most part. Obviously, there's some areas of that are strained right now. But people live pretty freely in this country, right? And even when I was driving through Philadelphia, there's a lot of racial tension, anti-Semitic racial tension. And where we went through, you know, Jewish people out freely walking around. And I'm making assumptions, obviously, on a superficial basis, but it was in the area of the synagogue. And it appeared people were going to the synagogue. So I don't think it's too superficial for me to say that. And they're walking around freely in the city of Philadelphia, which is good. I'm not suggesting it's not. Believe me, it's fantastic. We enjoy a certain level of comfort. Now, if those same people, or I won't take the Jewish thing out of it because it's too contentious right now. And I don't want to make things contentious. We got enough of that going on. If I were to try and walk down in the Muslim North Philadelphia neighborhoods, good luck. You see what goes on down there and see how that would turn out. Not well, likely. My daughter, good luck making it out of there alive. Can you believe I'm going to sit there and say that statement? I'm going to say if my beautiful little blonde-haired, blue-eyed daughter were to be dropped off on a street corner in North Philadelphia, that the chances that she would make it out alive would be low. That would be my feelings on that. And I don't know what you blame that on, drugs, violence, racism. Does it really matter? We don't go down there. It's not safe to go down there, not for white people, not really for anybody probably, but there's certain sections of the city white people don't go. Now, I'm not aware of any places where people of other ethnicities can't go. Now, it's not to say that those areas where you don't go, if you were Asian, you wouldn't get treated just like me. I believe you would, actually, more than likely. Anyway, we live in relative peace, even if we have these artificial boundaries in some cases. And even then, you see this interracial acceptance that goes on a pretty reasonable scale, I think. That's my sense, that people get along pretty well, mostly agree, just want to raise good families, have a decent job, get a paycheck, get through life. You know, we're under a lot of strain. I don't need to go into our society, the divorces, the drugs, the taxes, the divorce, the drugs, and the debt. There's the three big D's that are sucking this country down right now, if you ask me. You know, you say, what about the border? I think the border crisis is a result of the debt crisis. They need economic growth or it goes down. I don't think people realize that. And much as you say, let it go down. Well, not everybody's agreeing with that, obviously. They'd rather double down than let it go down. Problem is that the cost of doubling down is makes the pain all the more worse. That's my feeling. Those are the big issues, I think, weighing us down. In the meantime, my point that I'm trying to get at 5 minutes into this, that the division is being created by the political parties. And interested parties, maybe we should say that. Prove me wrong. It's their advertising, it's their rhetoric, it's their alienating positions that don't even make sense unto themselves half the time. They have this broad sweeping, if you're a good conservative, you're this or that. Nobody even really knows what these standards are, what they mean, or people just grouping together in a herd mentality. For the most part. And as I see, you have this perfect cocktail brewing, and I'm not the only one that's saying this, and you could disagree on the reasoning for it, but the conclusion remains the same, and that is that this division and the stress of the three Ds or whatever you want to blame it on, the stress that this country's carrying right now, 30 years of war, you could go on and on. You take all that combined and you've got a powder keg. Not only that, there's another part of this. There's every incentive right now for the establishment to engage in violence to maintain control. It's a simple fact. And violence is a great way to do exactly that, to take control. Look at what happened after September 11th, the Patriot Act. Much of that is what led us to where we're at today. Many other things, I know, that was a new beginning point, a new starting point. So, with all that, where are we headed? Are we headed towards a civil war? I would say to you, we don't want to go there. People are not going to be happy. You start looking at a disruption in simple services. You know, but part of the problem with this relative peace that we've been living in is that we've gotten quite round. We eat really well, don't have to do a lot for it, don't get enough sunshine, have little resilience left, gotten really soft, in other words. And what do I mean by, where am I going with all that? Who cares, right? I said it to my brother Michael, who goes down the radio show with me on Mondays. I said, our population is not taking care of themselves. And believe me, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm Charles Atlas. I've said it a million times, but doggone. Can't even do a push-up. I was going to say, at least I can still do my push-ups. That's always my litmus test of manlyhood, being able to crank out a few push-ups. Unfortunately, I underestimated the impact of Father Time and the impact on my shoulders in particular. I have a torn rotator cuff, so not going to be doing any push-ups for a little bit longer. But it's healing well. It's healing really well, actually. About 7 weeks into it, I have full mobility back, just can't put any real weight on it or anything like that. I've been doing some rehab exercise, working out great. Everything's coming back. And I'll say that you can bounce back from anything. But anyway, listen, you had a small disruption in service. Look what happened in Texas when the electric went out and people were dying because it got cold for 48 hours down there. What are you going to do if you get a cold snap? You know, this existential threat of climate change, it could go either way. It could get cold too, right? And, it's an extreme climate. I'm not buying into any of that. But listen, the climate does shift for natural reasons, as it did in Texas. You know, I see people complaining they're manipulating the weather down there, by the way. You know, with the fires that they had. And, you know, as I look at it, like the snow, the fires, maybe they are messing with the federal government messing with Texas down there with the weather. I think people give government a little too much credit. They can control the weather. They're starting earthquakes. There's some truth to all this. There is cloud seeding that goes on. Let's not get into that today. Let's go back to the topic, Ken. And that is, look, if you had a small disruption in services, food shortages, there's going to be a food shortage. You know, imagine they come out and they're like, milk and eggs are not going to be available for another 10 days in your area. No milk and eggs for 10 days. Would we survive? Well, would we? What all would it impact? Every breakfast place, every coffee place. It would have more of an impact than you realize. We've come to rely on these things, on-time delivery, everything at our fingertips, a whole meal delivered these days. Amazon with a 24-hour delivery. What if all of a sudden they can't get fuel? Electric goes out regionally for, a couple of days, 10, 12, 20, something like that, because, the Texas, California team blew up your transformers or whatever. I don't know. I don't think it's a good idea. That's actually the scenario from this movie, Civil War. And it is. It really is just a movie. People are talking about this. Well, you know how it is. It's the talk format, the podcasting, the pundits, the whatever, and they'll talk it to death. And, could it happen? I'll just get right to it on that front. I don't really see it happening. Not like you would see in the movie. Not that I say that there's no chance of it. And I say this all the time, so don't jump down my throat if you were about to. Oh, you don't think it could happen? I didn't say that. I absolutely think it could happen. I always recommend that people prepare well. And I think it's a mistake on many fronts. Yes, I think it's a threat. I think it's a consideration. But I don't think there's a real likelihood of it. It's just my general sense. I could be wrong about that. But nonetheless, this movie comes out. And all of a sudden, everybody and their brother's talking about it. Because why? Well, just like sports talk, right? Doesn't matter who won, who lost. Losing my voice today. Who won, who lost, what the score was, whether it was a good game or not. They got to talk about something. Well, it was a bad game. Why was it a bad game? And then you start dissecting, deconstructing, they say. Well, why was it a bad game? Well, because the center was off his game. How was he off his game? Well, when he does that right foot pivot, he snaps back and whatever little analysis they do. I'm not a big sports guy, so I'm not into it. However, I have noticed that the sports broadcasting, in my opinion, quality, I'm going to say is a lot better than what talk radio is doing. Those guys are knocking it out pretty well. But anyway, they got to talk about something. They do the play-by-play. Well, same thing with news and politics. Hey, what happened today? Nothing really. You better make something. Now, for me, I have other places I can go in terms of content. But if you're Fox News, you don't. They got to make news. Anyway, they all create this hysteria. And this movie comes out, and they want to talk about it. They're going to take it seriously, even though there's no factual evidence in here at all. To add to that, the Hollywood Reporter blog site interviewed this author, but they didn't do it like an interview, or the director, rather. They say the Civil War director breaks silence on bold movie and issues a warning. This guy doesn't know anything outside of making movies. All of a sudden, he's going to be an expert on geopolitical, I don't know what the word would be. In other words, the whole article was written to market the film, but they don't tell you like that. They're going to talk about it like it's news. And it's not news at all. Not one bit. You want to talk about Civil War? I was talking about it in 2020. I talked about it for a whole week, actually. I think it was called Tipping Point 2020. And I thought it was a fantastic series. I know that it was because it drove incredible traffic into our website. The podcasts blew up. And everything was promptly shadow banned out of existence. Maybe I should bring it back. And the details of that were suspect to say the least, man. I could go on and on about that. It's a crazy time. I can't believe that, everything I've seen and done for this country, and then I got to live through this. It's really amazing to me. Let me just share with you a couple highlights of this article. Well, let me just say, I'm not going to read this thing. It's badly written. It's not even a great article. And he said, why are we talking and not listening? He said, we lost trust in the media and politicians, and some of the media are wonderful, and some politicians are wonderful on both sides of the divide. And he's trying to say that, look, we need to listen to people even with different ideas. And to that, I say, okay, how about if the left goes first, right? Why don't they listen to the Republicans that say, we demand fair and transparent elections? Cricket, they'll call you an election denier. We demand the freedom to choose and not have scientific experiments carried out on us without our consent. Then you become labeled a vaccine denier. In other words, here's this leftist movie chump and some blog that needs to write an article to help market this thing. And they come up with this garbage and suddenly it becomes news and it's complete garbage. Every bit of it. Now, you might say, wow, it's kind of interesting. They make some good points, and maybe they do. If they do, it's just random coincidence. Except this. You know, he did issue a warning, basically saying, hey, nobody's exempt from this. And General Flynn said that as well. No nation is exempt from this. It made me realize that every generation, there's some kind of a fight for freedom, unfortunately. And I think to become complacent is a mistake. I do believe that there's evil people in our government, very evil people that are doing a lot of damage. And if we don't do something about it soon, we're going to be too far gone to recover from it. And when they start taking away private businesses for political reasons, like in the case of Trump, I say it's a little more than concerning. That's not even socialism. It's just Bolshevism, government taking. All right, I got a couple other handful of stories I wanted to run you through real quick, just so that you can mainly enjoy the wonderful, soothing sound of my voice, which I know you enjoy deeply. And if that's the case, I crack myself up sometimes, but if that's the case, would you kindly go subscribe to my email list at ChristopherScottShow.com? I don't know if I mentioned to you, we got some great stuff going on, video and whatnot, and got some content ideas coming on. And this podcast is going through a bit of a renaissance that I did not expect. Now, just consider this, if you've been a fan of the show, what was it, just a month or so ago, I was saying, don't worry, the new Project Chaos project is not going to overtake this podcast. I don't want to give up what I've worked so hard to build. Remember me saying stuff like that? And then about a week later, I went down to 4 days a week. Remember that? Said, wait a minute, what's going on here? By the way, I wish I never would have done that. I had to. I mean, there was so much to do with getting that off the ground. I learned a lesson because we may do a third podcast, a third channel, Rugged Survivor. That's part of the reason why I say to sign up. I've got other things going on. We just did the series on Monday. I did the live radio show, and we had previously completed full interviews with two VA whistleblowers. They happen to work at the same place. Really unbelievable, the perspective that you get on the story, the VA, the whistleblowers, the character of these men, and why Marines particularly end up in the situation. But one of the guys is an Air Force veteran, too. And the same mindset, same way of thinking. And I was really blown away by it and enjoyed doing the videos. But anyway, at some point, I'll be probably showing all that information on the Christopher Scott Show website, and it'd be like a station with multiple channels you can come in and listen to, and you know, different podcasts. If you like what I have to offer, you have more than one subject matter that you can dial into, which I think is exciting. There's not a lot of people that are doing that or can do that, and we're bringing something a little different, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch and see how it goes. In the meantime, if you're interested in tying into all that, you may wish to subscribe to my email list, ChristopherScottShow.com. While you're there, I'll unapologetically ask for this. I need some support, big time, like financial support. I'm kidding about that. But it would be great to sell some books. Go check out my books right there, ChristopherScottShow.com. And they make great gifts as well. My book, Common Sense, the book Be the Lion, is great for young men, a great read. They're all available on Audible as well. So if you want to support the show, it's a great way to do it right now. Go check out my books on Audible, and love to have you check it out, and would appreciate your purchase and contribution to the show. and appreciate the email support always. All right. So we got this story here. Mike Johnson, I don't know who put this out. Let's see. We should have these D'd up. That's right. How could I forget? I don't know. See, I don't script the show. I'm not sitting here reading from a teleprompter. I actually have to rely on my own mind to remember the stories, if you can imagine that. It's a little different than what they're doing in other places. And the other thing I'll tell you, just so that we can keep everything on a fair playing field, I'll say, I don't have a producer yammering in my ear to straighten me out when I mispronounce something or something like that. And I not likely ever will. I won't say never, but not likely. Hey, I'm just checking this out. I know they said this. This imagery that we put in for the videos, this one in particular today is really over the top, this video. My wife and daughter helped me revise the background video a little bit. And what we're doing is, it's not real complicated. We're using Zoom in the studio here. I don't really have a better setup to do videos. It's a little bit amateurish in that regard. Sometimes when I move and things, you see a little fuzziness as a result. I wasn't planning on doing that. I was going to just film it in the studio. I have a nice studio here. But it's a little boring to just sit in. I mean, I get tired of it, for God's sake. And I thought, I want to offer something else. So we put this incredible imagery that rotates on a slideshow behind me as I'm talking. The first version of that, I had it flipping through like, blah, 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 blah. It was like a, so looking at a strobe light. It really was. My wife said, you got to slow that down. It's not going to work. So I slowed it down, and my wife and my daughter were very critical of the imagery, saying that it wasn't congruent with the message. And I didn't agree with them at all in that regard, but I know better than argue with my wife. Now, my wife, particularly when they both said, I said, all right, let's fix it. So we selected some other ones. And I got to tell you, they were right. They were right. This reminds me of when we moved into this house. I'll tell you this story real funny about my wife being right. And There was two or three rooms that had carpet upstairs, all downstairs, lower levels, tile, hardwood. Upstairs, we had two bedrooms, and the great room was carpet. And we didn't want any carpet. We want to get rid of that. The rest of the house was a nice tile and hardwood. And my wife says, I want to take it all out, and I want one flooring through, one hardwood through the whole thing. And I said, what? Well, why are we going to tear out perfectly good tile and hardwood? And she says, that's the way I wanted it. She didn't really say it like that. When we went to the flooring store to look at it, and they said, what are you looking to do? And I said, well, we want to run this through the whole house. And the guy says, you know, that's going to be expensive. I said, yeah, I think I know that. Anyway, I fought it tooth and nail. I said, this is a waste of money. I'm not happy about this. You know, we're not independently wealthy here that I can just throw that kind of money around without a little consideration. And anyway, the day it was done, and I said, you know what? You were right about this. Boy, did it change the whole house. It really did. Crazy, really, in a crazy good way. And anyway, my wife's got an eye for those kind of things. So I think they were right about the video, too. If you haven't checked it out, you can check me out on Rumble. And that's about it. Or video. Nobody else will have me right now. They're going to be on Twitter soon. I'll let you know when that happens. I'm about as excited as you are. I guess I better get more excited about it. And I guess I better stop looking at the photos of my own video, right? And start getting back to the video. All right. Well, I needed a break from politics. What do you want me to do 20 minutes into this? Mike Johnson goes on CNN, apparently, and does a video, participates in a discussion at the Greenbrier Hotel on March 13th. I call that an interview with CNN. Why is he meeting with CNN? And basically, he's scolding Republicans, telling them that they need to stop campaigning against each other. Not basically, specifically what he said. And he's talking about primaries. So here's good old Mike Johnson, the good conservative, arguing that the Uniparty needs more support. Count me out there, Uncle Mike. I'm going to say we want a choice, not an echo. And the more choices the people have, the better. And that's what he should be supporting. Now, I know for a fact that that's not politically expedient. In fact, some people would say that it's political harry-carry. Maybe you would, maybe say, but here's what I would say to you. I'd rather die under a system like that than live in slavery under the Uniparty. Just my feelings on it. Vote as you may. That's what I would say to you. This guy's not good for the country. That's my conclusion. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, and I mean, you know, sit here and start ripping on the guy, and I don't really want to anyway, but I don't think he's good for the country. It's not the leadership that we need right now. More, I see more and more of this. You talk about the Civil War threat. John Kerry saying that Russia's already intervening in the presidential election. Hint for Democrats are looking to steal the election, and they're going to blame it on Kennedy or whatever they have to blame it on, a hurricane, whatever they got to do, you know, blow up buildings, whatever it takes. And here's the other one, you know, huge national security threat as gang-riddled Haitians heading to our country. Yeah, why don't we open up the border a little more? Make sure we give them a little cash when they're here. And, you know, while I'm on my soapbox here a second, when I was doing the show about the VA whistleblowers, I said this, you know, that radio show is not political. And I said, I don't want to make this political, but I will say this. How is it that we have veterans in need, a bona fide need, we play games with them, and yet somebody coming across the border, just give them a pocket full of cash or a card. You don't have to carry the cash, but here's a credit card, prepaid credit card. But yeah, we have veterans that sign their life away, do everything for their country, say the same thing every time that they would do it again. But yeah, we don't take care of them. We do, but there's some that get missed, and we need to take care of all of them. And it's always going to be a challenge. Every generation, it is, just is. And that's why we need to work hard. And that's why I want to talk about the whistleblowers. You would think that if something's wrong, that veterans are being denied care, the VA say, oh, wow, we should really look into this. Thanks for bringing this to our attention. It's not what they do. They sit you down and they say, we don't see any evidence of any of this here. And then they take a hatchet to the head of the very person who brought it up in the first place. Exactly the opposite of what it should be. This is what people like Mike Johnson and John Kerry create, right? It's just my opinion on that. The United States announces a new Ukraine weapons package. I think this is from last week. Despite saying that there's no money, there's no funding. How is this that the Supreme Court rules, the Supreme Court doesn't rule? It doesn't matter. None of it matters. Really unbelievable. Who's really in control of all this, you have to ask? Certainly doesn't seem to be Joe Biden, doesn't seem to be Congress. Who? I don't know. Every mom in this U.S. city is getting cash aid. Flint, Michigan. RX Kids Cash Program. $7,500 to the new mother in cash paid over a one-year period. And then they'll get $500 a month for the following year. So it's $7,500, about $700. Not quite 70, be about $600 and some dollars a month for the first year and $500 a month for the second year for new moms. And what would you say to that? Would you support that? I already know. And sadly, I would say that most people would not support it. I don't support it either. I think that the churches should be doing it. I really do. You know, this would be the benefit of a church community. Where, you know, people that do have some financial ability, instead of miserably keeping it all to themselves, realize the value of the next generation and invest in it. And there's multiple ways that that can happen. And you might say, who are you talking about? Listen to me. It's our obligation. And if we want to leave any type of legacy as a nation, we need to start investing in young people now. I'll leave you with this since we're coming up on the end here. And that's all the story. I didn't get to what does the National Guard do. I'll answer this real quick. Our brother Dan out in Chicago emailed this to me, and I wanted to respond to it here on the podcast. The president can take control of the National Guard. Usually very limited. I brought this up with them putting National Guard in New York City. You're not hearing a word about that now, are you? They rolled that out, and everybody said, what are they pulling here? It's not good politically. They shouldn't be doing that. Why aren't the police taking care of it? People there are paying taxes. Anyway, going on about it. Not likely that the president would intervene, but here's what I would say. It doesn't matter because these governors, these mayors are puppets for the regime anyway. I'll leave you with this. My brother, who actually introduced me to podcasting, my little brother, Scott, he introduced me to a little podcast. I'm not going to say the name. I don't remember it anyway. And a sports guy. And he was interviewing Deion Sanders. I said, let me have a listen. And I was blown away. I'm not going to get into it right now. Maybe we'll get into it another day. But here's the reason why I brought it up. Deion Sanders talked about the importance of investing in the next generation. And, you know, I don't know if it's cash for new moms. But I know that in Protestant communities, we're not part of one, at least not currently. Well, one of the most common things is that they will, the elders, if you will, the church will come together and pay the tuitions for the Christian school of the young families. And that happens typically in many Protestant churches. And they would come together for other reasons as well, many reasons. They might say, hey, you got to contribute something. They might ask you to do missions work or something as part of it. And there's a strong work ethic there. And the idea is you help people help themselves, not a hand out, but a hand up. Our country, our young people, they need a hand up right now is what I'm getting at. We need some solid leadership and some doggone encouragement and some doggone sensibility. And I don't know, maybe I'm not the right guy to bring it, but all I can tell you is this. I can bring it up and at least maybe get people thinking about it. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait to see you there. Make it a great day.